Get started on your painting project this summer and save big money at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust 5-in-1 Spray Paint lets you choose from 5 unique spray patterns with a twist of the dial, so you can get a professional, corrosion-resistant finish on every project. Save big money on Rust-Oleum Spray Paint now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. This week, Chloe's dad dangles. The other Chloe becomes a drug mule, and I remember the good old days. So, let's strap down, let's strap in, and let's do this.
This is just another trucking podcast.
Hello, this is Just Another Trucking Podcast. I am your host, Tom, and I'm joined, as always, by Chloe, but not David. And by the way, I've not said the same name twice by mistake. We have two Chloes on. This is going to be confusing as fuck throughout.
Yeah, which Chloe are you addressing first?
I don't know. Hello, Chloe.
Hi.
Pick one, whoever. But apparently you're picking yourself. Bit rude. Yeah. I've got a guest on.
Oh, sorry. Hello. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, and we also have Chloe. Hello, Chloe, as well. But other Chloe, not that Chloe, a different Chloe, because...
You can call me Chloe on the brick grab if you want, because that's what everyone seems to know me as.
That's a mouthful and a half, but we'll go with that. Brick Chloe. We'll go with that one. Brick Chloe and skip.
Sorry, what?
Apparently that's a mouthful for me. I don't know.
I mean, we could go classic. Nailing we it. Were saying earlier we don't do YouTube. I mean, I could be Skip Chick for a change.
Yeah, there'll be a few people that'll be like, you do YouTube? Was there a YouTube channel? Is that how you guys got started? Yeah, I also did YouTube as well. That was a while, yeah.
Allegedly, it was Tom from Except for Access.
Yeah, except for, oh God, that takes me back. Jesus, I used to make videos.
Do you know what? I've still got you saved on my phone as Tom Except for Access.
You know, I've got you saved as Skip Chick, and sometimes I'll type in Chloe. I'm like, there's like, no results coming up. What the fuck? Why is... And I'm like, oh, right, Skip Chick. That's what I've got down as. In your phone now, do you find when you're saving people, they have... You'll put, like, Brian, and then it'd be like, where they work afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, I've got a Dale, Incinerator. Alex, landfill.
Yeah, yeah.
I know what it means. Other people be like, who? What's a weird surname?
What does that mean? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Or like, sometimes you'll be like...
I think also, as you get older, you interact with so many different people and you take people's contact details. So you end up with 10 Daves, 6 Emilys, 7 Sallys. Yeah. So you do put where they work after their first name.
Yeah, that's
a good
point.
Yes, you do. But the only problem with that is eventually you're going to have like, you know, Dave at this place, Dave at that place. But then the original Dave, you're like... Who the fuck is that? Like, I've got people on my phone now, and I'm like, they've been on my phone so long, I don't know who they are. I don't want to delete the number
got a
in
lot
case.
Of them, yeah.
Just in case one day that person messed me out the blue, and I'm like, rudely going, no idea who you are. But even still, I think even if they messaged me and it just said, like, I don't know, Dave, I don't know who the fuck you are. You'll have to go ahead and just remind me. How do I, like, I've got one on my phone, and it's like Bob, Italy. I'm like, so I met this person in Italy at some point. I don't know who he is.
I mean, who you are though.
It's been like 10 years since I lived in Italy. How the fuck am I supposed to remember who you are? There's no way.
Maybe he works at the Italian, and you just forgot. And he's the Italian man.
Could just work at a restaurant. Yeah.
But again, the same
could
thing.
Just be
have
an
I
Italian
done this?
Man. You are right.
I'm sure at the time it made sense to me to write this on my phone like that. But like, and I will say, and I think all three of us, because you, I'm just going to have a brick, Chloe. You do a lot of construction based stuff. But I find with construction based stuff, you do have a tendency to take a lot more numbers, because it's that person who can get you in. If you arrive at 5 o'clock and they're shutting the gates, you know you can call ahead to that person, but they'll let you in quickly. So you need these numbers, but they're on such an ad hoc basis that you're putting him in there. Fuck, you'll never remember that in a week's time, are you?
All my work ones of drivers that I don't I like the drivers. I'm not saying I don't like them, but I wouldn't normally associate with them necessarily or speak to them unless I need information on jobs and things. I just have them saved as a reg. Because I know their vehicle reg.
That's actually quite clever. But unless they change trucks, then you have to go back
in and
change it.
Then you just have to change reg, don't you? Yeah. Or the new number of the new person that has the reg, you just update the numbers and switch it around.
Yeah. Kale goes one step further. She's got a lot of people in her phone, and they're just swear words. They're just... The amount of people, Kale, how many people in your phone, by the way, David, I will mark this, you're going to have to bleep this. How many people in your phone are called the word How many would you say?
Quite a few.
What am I down? I'm not down as that, am I?
Yes, yes, you are.
One, two.
I mean, they're all not going to be at the C zone. So you're going to know which one they are.
And you know which one, which cunt is which. There you go. See,
wow,
that's a system beyond.
It's just really bad news if there's a
I do believe she has that in her phone book, actually, yes.
That's the top one.
There's so many bleeps going on. I'm so sorry, David. Someone in the chat's just gone, this week Kill has three.
Oh my god, wow, this
entire section
start,
David's
yeah.
going, should I just pull
just
the
derailed
section
it now,
is,
yeah.
is that should I do that? We were supposed to, by the way, before we set out in this, there was a whole plan. In fact,
was
I
there?
Actually I, yeah there was a semblance of a plan. There was we're gonna talk about, like, how do you get started in the industry, what got you. Nope. Derailed immediately off the bat. It's gone immediately off the bat. This is let's try and do a professional podcast where mm-hmm. we're actually talking about professional things. So how did you get into the trucking industry? What got you started with all of this?
Wow. It all started when I was actually a salesperson. I used to sell mobile phones, believe it or not. And they're
I used to sell computers, so yeah, I've been there before.
It was it's actually children's mobile phones, and it was a
Say
phone
what?
Called a children's mobile phone. Child,
I didn't know that was a thing, right? Go
well,
on.
Back this is going back 20 odd years. There was a phone released called the Teddy phone, and it was specifically
really?
Going to be aimed at children. And it would have had 3 or 4 preset phone numbers in the phone. So they would be able
okay.
to call their mum, the dad, the nan and granddad, and maybe one other person like an auntie. And we sold loads, but this is going back like 20 odd years. And I did that for a good
Is it this? 1 second. Can you see that? Oh, no, it's not.
I can't really
see
that.
It's like a blue bear.
Mm.
With like 4 buttons on it, I think it's got. No, sorry, 6. Its face has got buttons on it too. Is it that?
It rings a bell, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, right, go on.
I mean, I say it rings a bell because I never actually saw the phone. I was actually based in an office and I was given a transcript and I went over the I was out cold calling, basically.
So they got you to sell this thing. And you're like, and they were like, well, so what does it look like? Oh, it looks like a teddy bear. Who knows?
Honestly, I sold loads. I never saw it.
That's so
funny. So how did you transition from that then?
So we went from, I went from that to selling, what did I say? I used to work for a company called NetDocs. And
right.
I was selling an outsourcing, really boring, selling an outsourcing, basically appointments for my sales executive to go into hospitals
right.
to basically
right.
make them as paperless
just, sorry,
as possible.
Back the fuck up and just repeat that sentence one more time. You were selling outsourcing appointments to... How do you sell something that is that... But, right, so what did you sell then?
I would go through the phone book and I would ring all the NHS like hospitals and try and speak
yeah.
to the relevant people involved about going paperless with their paperwork, basically.
Right.
And all their documents. And I would blag. Sorry, I should just say that. I don't know if I should say that. But I would say, we are visiting the...
We all blag it.
we're visiting the hospital next door. We're going to come down. Can we speak to you on the same day? It's basically this amazing little outsourcing project that we're doing, saving you loads of money. It'll only be a half an hour of your time. We'll just show you the idea and see what you think. And we'd sell appointments, basically. I absolutely hated it. Honestly, ringing up people, cold calling is just horrendous. Never liked it.
Yeah.
I've done it before. I worked for a company where I sold... Basically, they sold tracking devices for vehicles. Like, it's a vehicle tracking devices, but they didn't sell the end product. So they didn't sell any of the software or the case or anything like that. It was just some of the internal hardware. So it was such a niche thing. And basically, we had to sell these tracking things.
What,
and
to actual tracking companies?
To other tracking companies, which there are surprising amounts. It's
really?
Not as limited as you think. I thought, I was like, well, there must be like five or something. There was more than that. And it was fucking
so
awful. And it's the only job I've ever been sacked from. And honestly, I can't totally blame them.
How is that the only job you've ever been sacked from, let's be honest?
I know, right? I've caused so much damage over the years. So many broken things. It's wild. But yeah.
Thomas done some weird and wild
things. I've broken so much stuff. So much fucking stuff.
We've all been there.
Well, that yeah. But anyways, right. So you were selling appointments to... Go on. So how did that transition into trucks?
So basically, my dad at the time used to manage a plant hire company. Plant hire diggers, dumpers.
Yeah.
He set up and was recruited to a place in Birmingham called Wankel. They're not actually called that now. They're actually called something else because they got bought out. But he said, look, I'm going to be getting a little 7.5-ton truck. I can put you through your class 2. How do you fancy coming driving and getting and you know, I think you'll really enjoy getting out and being on the road and doing something different.
So this was out of the blue, was it? You'd never sort of contemplated it before. This was just
You know, when you're young, you don't know what to do. When you leave school, you're a bit unsure. And it was really difficult to try and think about what I wanted to do as a career because I didn't know what I wanted to do. I always thought I'd be a motorbike courier because I was in London once and I saw all these motorbikes whizzing around and I thought, I want to do that. I want to do couriering.
Just quickly, have you been into London since in a truck?
Yeah.
How much do you fucking hate them people now?
It's horrendous.
Holy shit. It's, yeah, like you're looking at you, what are you doing over there? Why are you in that? Get out of my fucking blind spot. Yeah, it's stressful. It's fucking stressful. So you went for this job and then...
So my dad put me through my lessons. I got my lessons done. I passed on the second attempt. And then I was away. I was working for him in Birmingham at the time. Day work on a 7.5-ton little flatbed with ramps.
Yeah.
And I'd be loading up rollers, little mini 1.5-ton and 3-ton diggers, 3-ton and 6-ton dumpers.
That's pretty cool.
I'd just whiz them all over the place nationwide, but it was mainly Midlands, as in Birmingham to Worcester and Gloucester and back, and then I'd probably go to Leicester and back. And it wasn't as nationwide as what I'm doing now, I guess.
Yeah.
But then about another sort of 6 months to a year of doing that, one of the lads left on the actual class 2. Is it classed as like a 6-wheeler or an 8-wheeler maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
So your father's when you were doing it, even though you were going on a 7.5-tonner, because obviously
went
you would have a grand
plan.
So you actually took your class 2 license you were categorized up to that, were you? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So you were already class 2, but you were on a 7.5. Right, okay, right.
As soon as
he was gone, you could just jump straight onto that other thing there.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
And that was just obviously the bigger version of what I was driving, basically. So I could then load on 13-ton diggers and 9-ton dumpers and 14-meter telehandlers.
Yeah.
Whole new
and I loved it. I loved it. I loved loading them up and loved doing it. They just look great on the back of the truck as well. Do you know when you've gone from something quite tiny So then putting the bigger stuff on, it was like, wow, this looks wicked. I love it. Obviously, with doing that becomes certain. I did have a really bad incident when I was there at that company, actually. And obviously, I hadn't been on this bigger truck very long.
Yeah.
And when they're all giving you, like, not the planner, there was like a manager and there was a bloke in the office who used to drive the truck, but he went into the office. And then it was like me and one of the drivers. So it was a very small team. And obviously, me being very new to sort of like plant, the lads would come out and show me and load it up with me, because I might have had the dumper right up against the headboard, and then he'd put like a digger on, but to get the digger to fit, he would have to chuck the arm of the digger up and over the dumper. And then you might be able to fit like a tiny roller right up against the digger on the back and then the ramp.
So when you're doing that, how much kind of like, okay, so say for instance, you've got the boom over something, how much room do you need to give it between, like, and what sort of gap? Because obviously you can't leave like an inch gap, because surely under braking, it's naturally going to roll about, is it?
Well, I would just literally curl the digger arm within the digger bucket. So you could move the arm about and around and into the digger bucket and sort of rest it on it. You wouldn't have to leave it sort of floating above, if that's what you mean.
Okay, right. So you could just have it touching and it was absolutely fine.
Yeah. Okay, no problem. Yeah, but there was one situation where there was a load which was, I've not been doing it long, like I said, and the lads were coming out and helping me and they're chucking the arms over. And the thing that was on my mind more than anything was making sure it was all secure, the chain down and strapped. And off I went, flying down these little country lanes. And the next thing I know, there's this bridge coming up. And I hadn't even thought about this bridge. It was, I'm just having the time of my life. It was sunglasses on.
You're out living your best life.
The radio was on.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Let's just say this. I got under it, but my wagon didn't off bounce around.
Oh, see, so technically I made it.
Still made it.
But, yeah, I did, but it threw me up and down within the seat, put it that way. I got out the other end, so my cab cleared it, no problem. And it was the arm of the digger. The arm of the digger, which was thrown over the top of the dumper, it was the actual knuckle of the arm. It connected with the bridge as I'd gone under. And I thought, shit, I can't just stop. I've literally got to pull like away from the bridge.
Huff it. Just go.
So everyone's going to think I'm hit it.
Yeah.
So like I pulled up and...
Just weirdly, just suddenly did that. It was on the back. I heard a snap. What was nothing near me. Really weird. Yeah.
So,
was it damaged?
Oh, fuck me. The arm of the digger was... Well, to be honest, when I got out and looked at it, it actually looked all right. And I thought...
It's
okay. But I thought I'd better just double check. So I just jumped in the digger and I thought I'd better start it up and just get my arm up and just see what happens. Oh my God, it was like a mechanical arm just
throwing
about all over. Oil was going everywhere. I was like, shit. So I threw a strap over it and I managed to strap it down on top of the dumper. And then I thought, fuck, I'm going to have to ring my boss now. There's no hiding this, is there?
Put it back in the yard. It's just
turned up like that.
It's just dragging the fucking the thing behind you. It's fine.
Do you know when you can get away with certain things and you like little dinks? There was absolutely no way. Because I was actually on the way to a customer. So imagine me taking that off and him jumping in it and the arm just going, whoa.
If you do it fast enough, it'll dig the ground for you, like, it'd be really.
Oh, dear. So, I basically had to go back to the yard. I did report it as like you should do, and I spoke to such and such, and all done properly. And then we got back to the yard, I got a bit of a bollocking, and basically, I've never hit a bridge since, and you won't. After hitting a bridge, you'll never hit a bridge again.
I had one recently. This is a lot more recently than it should have been. This is last year.
Oh, Tom.
Oh, fuck.
Why have we not heard about this?
Wait, I've told you about this one, have I not? The water incident.
Oh, yes.
No, the fucking
yeah,
water incident.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah.
There's a bridge near us, and it's known for flooding. Like, it's known for flooding. And I've been through it a few times like this. I've been through it in the truck that I'm currently in, or not the current one, but one of the trucks I've been in. I've been through it with another company. In fact, two other companies, because it floods quite frequently. There's a section.
Yeah.
And I was going through it, and I'd been through it that morning, no problems at all. I come back through, yeah, absolutely not a problem at all. So kind of just got through it, and then it stopped raining. And it was like the sky had kind of cleared up. It was looking all good. So I was like, yeah, fucking hell, absolutely no worries at all. I mean, it's not going to get any worse, because why would it? That doesn't make any sense. Went through it the third time that morning, and I looked at it, and I was like, yeah, that seems about fine. Seems about right. And it was done wrong. It was definitely deep. But I knew it was, it seemed fine. And I was on the phone to a mate, and I was going through, I was like, fucking hell, I think this might be deeper than it was before. And I kind of, as I came over this little humpback bridge, I kind of was like, said to him, fuck me, lad, this is quite a bit deeper than it was. And I heard something, like heard what I thought was gravel hitting the bottom of the cab. And I was like, oh no, that can't be good. That's not a noise I've heard before. That's a bit of a weird one. So I got a bit further down the way. Next thing, I got a red coolant level warning. I'm like, oh no, this is bad. Anyway, as I got out, the fan was just gone. It was just disintegrated. There was nothing left of the fan at all. I'd ripped the bottom of the coolant out. I was fucking coolant pissing everywhere.
Did you drive into something then? Did you work out? Or was it just
I'd gone through it at the same speed as I had the other times, not kind of realizing how much deeper it had got, because it was a bit of an illusion, this little bit here. But when the next driver, John, came through it, he went through it gingerly as anything, and he was looking down, and this is a DAF CF, and he said it was over the indicators. So it was... It was fairly deep. Like it was feet deep. Like it was multiple feet deep. It was real bad. And yeah, I had to go
to
the boss.
Just a wheel wash. It's fine.
And my boss gets fucking everything wash at that point.
Yeah, so that didn't go down well. But you got your truck back?
It kind of runs still. Ish. It's not...
Runs fruity now.
Yeah. The other one that blew up, so they've put 10 grand into it already. But that one wasn't my fault. That one just blew up on me, so that wasn't my fault.
Okay, all right. So so after you hit this bridge, where did you go from there? Is that why you left, or...?
No. I was there for like another year and a half, I would say.
Yeah.
Definitely a good year after that.
So you definitely learned from that one.
Oh, honestly, you do. You like everyone always says, you learn from your mistakes.
Oh,
you
yeah,
certainly
definitely.
Do. Like that would honestly not happen ever again, because you know, I don't need that heartache and that stress.
Was it a railway bridge, or was it just a bridge?
Oh, please don't tell me it was a railway bridge. Oh, it was a railway bridge.
It's fine. I don't know about it. It's fine. Just keep driving.
Do you know when you look back and you see the train going back over and you're like, whoa, that's...
Oh, it's not broken, it's fine.
I'm glad that stayed up. But
to be honest,
can we edit this bit out?
No, it's too late now.
This is gold.
I did it once.
The title, this.
When I was learning on the skips originally, obviously when you put like a couple of skips high, I had like a big 12 and then a bigger one in top. So it was really high up. And I was with a guy that was helping me like train. And he's like directing me. We went for this bridge, and it was one of those, you know, those rounded bridges.
Where
you aim for the middle. Me forgetting there was bloody 212, you know, massive bins on the back. So it was like way above. And I just floor it, just go for it, because he's not saying anything. And all of a sudden, you just hear this. And I'm just like, what's that, the bridge? And he's like, yeah, just keep going. And all you can see is these little, It's absolutely fine. It was probably just little scrape marks, and it was just the bin had moved in a little bit. It wasn't like anything like what you did. It was just, you know, that moment of just, it's a railway bridge, just keep going.
Yeah,
no one saw anything, just keep driving. I was like, but am I meant to stop? No, we just keep going. Okay.
You know what? I thankfully never had a bridge strike. I'm stunned, but yeah.
I'm stunned.
But you can see why drivers, like, especially like at the firm that I'm at now, do you know when I'm collecting different trailers every day and they're all different sizes? I used to drive a truck and it was a certain height. So, you know, every day that is your height. Whereas now I'm dropping trailers, picking up different ones, the different heights. You can see why that could happen after, like, if you're not concentrating properly.
And on that, I actually think it's the other way round is the dangerous one, is it not? Because surely is it not? Because I always think when you have much lower trucks, and then it's that suddenly you don't have a low truck.
Well,
that's
when it can catch
you out. So I'm used to having something that's like what would your brick grab
13?
Be?
That was 12.9. My brick grab
12.9. God dang, that's
to be fair, the road is about 12.9 with just a 20 on. If I've got a 40, you're looking at like 14.8, something like that, with a big 40 on top.
You've got to think that all the places that brick grab grows, you've got to make sure it goes everywhere, pretty much, because we've delivered all over the country, down little lanes, down little train station tracks. It's got to be low to get into these places. And that's what I loved about that. I could pretty much slither under anything. It was great.
Every other fucker's got to go around. I'm good. So obviously you've transitioned. Have you done a few more things? So obviously you did that originally, and then you've done your brickwork. What else have you tried?
I went from plant to doing welfare cabins and containers. That was okay, but I hated when I was double stacking them, one on top of the other, and then you're having to put the ladders up against to get upon the double stacked.
Yeah.
And to get your chains off when it's been snowing or it's icy and it was just. Yeah, that was a bit frightening, climbing the ladder in the pitch black on your own in the yard. Not good.
I did a quad. That was hideous. That was one of them moments that because that wasn't me. I wasn't in control of the hi-ab with that one. We were double manning because I brought some on the back of me because I had we both had wagon drags and we'd done a quad and fuck me, that was like I'm nearly 7 foot. But I don't like heights. And when you're, because you have to kind of like, when you're getting that hook off, it's unless you've done it, it's really hard to kind of, like, there's something about having to kind of lean out towards the corner of this thing to take this hook off.
No.
And like, you're just leaning out towards the edge of the, and like, honestly, you just, like, I feel like, you know, you're like, there's nothing to hold on to. And like,
did you not have your fall arrest on?
But what's that supposed to do? I mean, like they say, if the fall arrest kicks in, firstly, it's not going to go that far. It's not going to go down four cabins. It'll go down like
free from it, like within 20 minutes or something.
Very, very quickly. Because so if technically you've fallen over the edge of it, they then can't take, if unless you've taken the last hook off and then you fall. They can't bring you back down again. You're stuck up there. There's nothing they can do.
Oh, really? Oh.
Well, yeah. So they've got to send a second person up who's then not strapped while you're just hanging about off the side of a cabin. And bearing in mind, these cabins have got like lots of sharp edges. So the chances are you've twatted yourself as you've gone down. Like, cabins are grim. That is just a fact.
I've got a little
story. By the way, go on, sorry, go on.
I was going to say, I've got a little story about hanging from a grab.
Oh, no.
It wasn't really? Me. It was it was my dad. So basically, he used to have his own truck. So once he managed this place, he had his own trucks for a while. We had a couple.
Yeah.
And he'd work all hours, God sense, because he was a grafter. And he'd work out of hours when the company's shut. So we'd go and collect some plant in the day. And then it needed to be sort of taken back to, say, Gap or Speedy Hire. And these obviously places that close at, like, 5 o'clock, aren't they? So he's probably pulled up at, like, 6, 7 o'clock at night because he knows he can just crane it over their gate and lift it into the compound. So he's turned up in the middle of the night. It's all pitch black. Pulled his truck up against the gate, and he's told him in advance, "I'm just going to crane it into your yard." And back then, it was like, "Oh yeah, no problem." So he's obviously sat on the dumper while chained it, and then craned himself up while he's on the dumper over and landed it inside the compound. And then as he's gone to sort of crane him back, hook the crane onto his harness to pull him back over the gate, his fucking battery's gone. And he's hanging. And he's ringing me.
Shit.
He is ringing me going, "Where are you? I need you." And I'm like, "I'm in Leicester." He was in Birmingham. I was like, "I'm going to be like an hour." He's like, "Okay, I need to get someone else here quick, because obviously the harness is there and his weight."
Yeah, yeah. It's dangerous.
He's had to get someone out to him to come to his lorry to get a battery out for them to pass it up or throw it up to him to change his battery in the remote to then be able to carry on.
But let's just reset this person that's turning up, and he's turning up to this plant thing. There's a hayab, probably most likely with all its lights on, and just this man suspended over this gate. I'm being like, it must be the most surreal experience. You're like, what the fuck is going on here? This
honestly.
So did he ever do that ever again? Like, take things
probably.
Over?
Probably. He was crazy.
Yeah, most likely.
From that. He just took extra batteries, didn't he? That was it.
The lesson was always make sure the battery's fully charged. That was the lesson. Not don't do
oh
that.
Oh, my God. That would be awful.
It's a great idea, but, health and safety these days just wouldn't allow it.
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't be allowed to do that now.
I've seen people ride bolt bikes before. At Trevor's
Have Burns. You?
Yeah, I've seen them ride bolt bikes.
They'd be sacked in an instant.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But, like, the thing is, the cameras have got dead spots. This is not something I've done.
Tom's like this.
If Travis Perkins watching, I have never done this before.
You
I never
even
will
do this
either.
Come on, tell the truth.
No, genuinely, it wasn't me. I'm too much of a pansy to do that shit. I'm fucking... In a day. The thing is, the Travis
Perkins...
won't
lift you high enough.
Bags, probably not, no. Yeah, you can do all sorts of them. Like, it's...
I obviously joined Travis Perkins right after that. So then I was at Travis Perkins for 10 years. And when I went to Travis Perkins, that's when I learned all about health and safety, because they were on it.
Thing, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Travis Perkins were on it from day one. We want you to do it this way. There's none of this. You got to wear this and that. And that is when all my health and safety really kicked in, when I started working for those.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I loved it. I loved the hours. 7:30 to 4:30.
Oh, so brilliant. Or 8 till 5, depending on which shift you were on. But yeah, I was the earlier one. And it was just so... Travis Perkins is my favourite job I've ever done. I maintain that. If Travis Perkins paid more money, and they paid, like, if they were competitive on wages, I'd go back there in a heartbeat, like... Like, it's a really good company to work for. And in fairness, they do look after you. They do all your CPC stuff's covered. The only thing was with the CPC stuff is they stopped the sandwiches, which I was pretty pissed off about.
Can you get sandwiches in CPC?
Oh, you used to get treated. So you'd go, like, somewhere nice. You'd all be sat around this thing. And basically, like, there was some CPC stuff, but it was mainly people complaining about their branch and how shit it was and what there was one person I'll never forget. Like, he was like, when I a little bit later on, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to release the handbrake at the top of a hill that's in front of a school. I'm just going to plow into it and let them sort the paperwork out.
Wow.
I was like, wow, that's so dark.
Wow.
Yeah. That's not messed up at all. I mean, yeah, it's pretty grim.
How long were you there for?
A few years, like. It was I started off in the yard at Travis Perkins. Well, no, I started off in the office, and then we were flooded. Remember Storm Desmond a few years ago? And
it's not been that many storms these days.
Yes, it seems like it's every other week now, isn't it? But, like, Desmond came in, and it, like, in parts there was up to 9 feet of water. And it was so bad that the trucks, because they did repair the trucks, but the trucks were so badly flooded in some bits that they had to replace the seat of some of them because the seats were waterlogged. Like it was, they were underwater. Like there was like you could see, like they had to sweep the mud off the flood water off the bed of the trucks. Like it was crazy high, and we had these cabins, and I was just like, I can't deal with that. That's not.
It just, I think with TP, it just got a bit silly at the end. Like as I was about to leave, I think I was in like my ninth year there. The health and safety, although it was quite intense anyway, they wanted us to start strapping bulk bags. Do you know they got the forklift loops? There's like a loop one side of the bag and a loop on the other so the forklift can pick them up.
Yeah.
They wanted us to put, we just used to throw a strap over directly over the bag. So they wanted us to then put one strap through one loop, one strap through the other loop, and then cross them. But we've got like 12 bags on the back of the truck. You've got to think how many straps that is.
Yeah,
like
that's stupid. That's 24. Stupid, that. And you're supposed to do that. How do you do that without getting on the bed of the truck?
We never went on the motorway. We just went round the corner. Most of these jobs are within a couple of roads of like, the jobs are within a couple of roads away. It's all dead local.
And go on, sorry, go on.
There was a video that they made us watch. They were like, you don't have to get on the bed of your truck. Here's a pro pole. Put the strap on the end of the pro pole and you feed the pole through the loops and through the other side. And then you have to walk around the truck and you have to pull it through.
Don't get me wrong. When they showed you this video, I bet you all the straps were just perfectly like lined up so they could just put it straight through there and it was perfect on the video. But you and I both know when they're picking up that bag that's been underneath all of the other bags and then bloody things are in the sand, well, that's not happening. And
the time involved to do all this when they wanted three runs out of you a day. Like two in the morning, you'd have your lunch around. And then it was just getting too much. And I was like, it was just depressing. I was like, no,
so
this
I will say
me.
the one in Kendall Branch, Kendall Branch 9281 was our code. Still remember this to this day. It was one of them things that was ingrained in me. But I did the lakes run. So like where my first job where I learned was like proper Lake District, tiny little country.
Oh, lovely.
Like that. It was honestly as good as it gets for learning. Because the run that I had was basically an all-day job because I would be out miles upon miles. Like, the catchment area for our branch was huge.
Much different to Mars, then.
Oh, it was massive. Like, it was we had a very weird catchment area where, because there was nothing in the Lake District, so we just had everything north of us, basically. And like the truck that I had, we had it like it was routinely sent out where the product was stacked above the crane, like way above the crane. You do all of your kind of all of your bulk bags as a base layer, then you put your wood down, and then you could put your like your Celotex and anything that was kind of like and like
light, yeah.
Like I think I had it up to like 15 something, that little truck. Like it was, like it did not look okay. Like I looked at it.
You can get away with that anywhere.
No, you cannot get away with that. They don't let you. If you've got bulk bags down, you cannot put another product on top of that now.
Like that thing, though, is it?
Yeah, they've cracked down on that as well. So there's no, and there was.
I mean, I'm not
gone are the days where you put your wood down on top of it, throw the strap over the wood. That's it. We're good to go. Send it. It's all good.
Wow.
Two straps. Two straps for four bulk bags and some wood and some other bits. Yeah, that's fine. It's about right. That.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
They tried to stop us operating under when I was there, they tried to stop us operating under any wires whatsoever.
Oh, any and wires at
any
all?
Any wires. So BT wires and so electric wires anyway.
This? But,
so this is going back about 5 or 6 years and probably a bit longer, 7 or 8 years actually. There was an email that came in. All crane drivers now, must all high-up drivers must stop operating under any wires whatsoever. So what we were finding were, we're all being sent out and then just coming back to the branch fully loaded still. Yeah. And they were like, there's a PT wire on the street.
Yeah.
Because imagine when you're going up a residential street.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's telegraph poles all the way up. And you're going to have to crane underneath them.
Pretty much every single job. So I started driving in 2016, I think it was, for Travis Perkins. And they didn't have that rule. They were kind of, they didn't want you working too close to the BT wires, but you were kind of okay with it. But I will say, even with them power wires, the amount of people who've got like a secondary power line, especially in the Lake District, because it's just easier to run them along the same BT lines and then have them cross over. And you and I both know, because anyone who's done brick grabs or done like grabs, they know an insulated line is not going to run down the fucking crane. It's not. It's insulated. That's the whole point of it. That's the reason why you can see them coming out and like someone could technically reach out their bedroom window and grab onto it. It's clearly going
to
be insulated.
But for them to bring in the rules, something must have happened.
And what they've done is they'll have been, oh, I thought it was a BT line, and it wasn't. It was like a fucking 240 volt bloody whatever it is. Like,
and left it on the customer's driveway.
Dad, did you hear it's either a Jag or Mercedes story from London about the person who dropped the pack of bricks on the top of someone's car?
No,
did you not hear
hilarious.
This one?
No.
Oh, yeah, this is a story
what,
that went
on purpose
around.
Or?
No. So there was a rule. Travis, by the way, this is turning into the Travis Perkins podcast now. That's great.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about, but yeah, it's great.
So there was a story basically. Well, you weren't allowed to grab stuff over a car or like a shed, or really, you should be
that
doing
makes
it over,
sense,
like,
yeah.
you know, so like kind of things that could be if, because on the day, it's unlikely, but if you've not got a good grip on it and the product shifts, it can just drop.
Yeah.
So apparently this lad was a brand new car. It was like a Mercedes, it was a Jag, it was something fancy. He was lifting it over and this pack of brick just slipped, went through the roof of this car, landed into the driver's seat. And apparently he just paused, took his controller off, put it on the bed, walked off, got the bus home. He didn't disable the grab. He didn't turn the PTO off. The engine was still running. It was all still.
Sucker, at least.
I don't, from the story, I don't know. Apparently, all he did was put the grab down and he just left. He didn't do anything else. He was just like, I'm sacked. There's no need to be here. We're done. This is us done now. We'll see you guys later. And that was it. So he was never seen again.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's dedication to leaving it in a shit state, isn't it, really?
It's
just
so
like,
good.
I'm out. I'm not dealing with this bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds like too much paperwork right here.
It was a make or break moment.
That sounds like one of those jobs which you just can't include on your CV. You just kind of missed that one off your CV.
What did you do for these last 6 months?
You know,
oh,
I think
just
I might
took
be the
a break.
Weird,
yeah.
you know.
Well, I went travelling.
Didn't need a job. It's all good.
Oh wow. Dear. So yeah, from TP, I was there 10 years. Yeah. I'm 42 now and I don't have my own house, and I was realizing I was living pretty much paycheck to paycheck at Travis's.
Yeah.
Money was coming in and it was going straight back out, and I wasn't really managing to save. So I'm thinking, I need to save, I need to get a house deposit, I need to crack on with life. And the only way of doing that for me was probably getting my class one. So I put myself, I managed to save up, got my class one money, put myself through my class one. And while I was still at Travis's, there was a construct it lorry that came through the yard.
Yeah.
And I was like,
okay, right.
Wow. There's like, he was delivering to our branch. It was this big yellow and black lorry with a grab on the back, and that is what I wanted to do. So I went up to him and I said, I don't suppose there's any jobs going at your place. I've just passed my class one. I'm looking to get on, like, continue to do similar work to what I was doing at Travis's, but on a bigger scale. And he said, believe it or not, there is actually jobs going. Why don't you message the Facebook page and the owner will be in touch? And I was like, really? So that night I messaged the Facebook page and sure enough, the owner rang me and he was like,
wow.
Basically, do you want to come down for an assessment? And I was like, yeah.
Hell
and
yeah.
I was given, I think that happened the following weekend. And then by that afternoon on the way back from Birmingham, because that's where their head office was, I was offered a job.
Nice.
So then I was on the brick grab and I was away and off my class one journey. And within I was at Constructor 18 months. And within 18 months, I paid off a $7,000 loan that I had. And saved up.
Was it that much more pay? Was it? That's amazing.
I saved up $20,000 and paid off a $7,000 loan in a year.
Wow. It's not necessarily the fact that it's a lot more money. It's more Travis Perkins is a lot less money. It's not very.
It's probably the lifestyle. Did you have more like hours or like?
I would say I earned $20,000 extra on top of my really? Travis Perkins money. Yeah, it was $20,000 extra. That was including my night out.
That's a hell of a difference.
Yeah, a huge amount of money. And I was just able then to like really get my act together. And recently I've put an offering on a house, which has been accepted. And just sort of like really cracking on now. So yeah, I'm really, really, really happy. I'm in a good place at the moment. Unfortunately, things didn't work out at Constructor in the end. I would say for me, I felt rather stressed at the end of my time there. I was given a lot of the London jobs to do. So, you know, if you've ever worked in London or driven a truck around London, it's stressful.
A couple of times and it's horrible. It's fucking horrible.
If you're not used to going into London and you don't know the routes in, it's a nightmare. Every road you go down, you think you're going to be fined or you get caught in a yellow hash box, another little fine and cameras everywhere. And that's just not even considering like the pedestrians that are and the cyclists that are all weaving in and out of you.
Oh, the cyclists are crackers.
Oh, honestly, I was just coming home on a Friday after being out all week and I was just really snappy. I lived with housemates. I just felt I was snapping and just felt like I didn't want to do it anymore. I felt like I'd done me 18 months experience. And because I've got 18 months, I could potentially get other jobs now. And I just started looking for day work. And that's when Armstrong's came up. It was a day job doing 5 on 3 off. And I thought, 3 off? That sounds amazing. 3 days a week. When did that ever happen? And you know what? It's a really good job. It's dead easy. I just don't know whether it's a bit too easy for me at the moment.
I couldn't stick with RDC work. It's there's something about the mentality of like, which we all know is that I've been able to tip yourself, being very self-reliant and being like, that's fine. Just let me be.
Yeah, and now you're relying on everyone else.
And then suddenly you're like, and there's nothing more frustrating than turning up somewhere and going, you've got one pallet. And they're like, oh, someone will be with you in an hour. And I'm like, mate, it's one pallet. Fuck, if you want, I'll handball it off. That's fine. Like, I don't care. Like, if it speeds up the process, get me another pallet here. No, we can't do it. You'll have to wait for an hour. I'm like,
we are quite lucky in the sense that I think Armstrongs have a contract. So basically, 99% of Armstrong's work is Aldi and Lidl, which are both self-tipping, self-unloading RDCs. So whenever I turn up, I probably have to queue the longest, maybe 15 minutes for a bay. But that's no biggie because you want a cup of tea when you've been travelling 2 hours anyway. So once you're on the bay and you've unstrapped your load, got your doors open, you're unloading yourself. So you're getting your steps in. And you've got electric pump trucks. It's all dead easy. A lot of drivers complain about like having to unload themselves, but honestly, it gets you out of the cab. It keeps you active. I actually enjoy it. I don't find that I've got to wait around like other drivers have said, but once we've unloaded my truck and it's all put it all inside their warehouse, I've noticed that other companies are having to then wait for the warehouse to check their load off, and they could be waiting an hour for that to happen, whereas
really?
Armstrong's have this contract where we're just allowed to say, yeah, we've unloaded, and they give us our keys, and that's checked in their own time. So we're back off again and down the road. It is actually quite a good RDC little job to have, to be honest with you. But it is boring in the sense that I'm just motorway driving. I don't go down these little country lanes anymore. And
there's something bridges. About the anxiety, isn't there? that anxiety of like, oh, can I make it? Or, but then it's also that I think... Even though you're probably not that sort of person, there's something about having that person tell you, wow, that was quite impressive. I didn't think he was going to get that in there. You're like, and you can say something cool. Oh, yeah, it's just what we do, mate. And you're walking away thinking, fuck right. Yes, come on. I'm like, the reason, and you, what you want to say is, the reason why I got it in there is because I'm fucking amazing. That's the reason why. But actually, you can't say that because that's.
Actually, that is a good point, Cody. Do you get sexist remarks, just out of curiosity?
I would say. A little bit of banter when I used to work on the construction sites, but nothing that I was ever really offended by, if I'm honest.
That's like, good. That's nice.
It was all in good heart, and I used to be very much give it straight back at them as well. Do you know what I mean?
That's a big thing, though. You do need to. I found some people, what they're actually looking for is they're looking for some shit back.
Yeah.
And there was one guy that we had, and no one wanted to. No one wanted to deal with him. Dave Sharp, his name was. It was so funny. And I got up, I got out, and he goes, fucking hell, where have you been, ginger bollocks? And, and I think I snapped back and I was like, I said something like, but you fucking dog's ginger. What the fuck do you want? Or something like that. And I don't know, at that point there, because I think I'd shot back at him, it was immediate, like, he'd give me shit, I'd give him shit back, and it was a good, I was the only one who could go and deal with him. There's something about being able to give shit, because I have had it where, when going into RDC, I can't remember what I said, but I went to an RDC, and they said something to me, and I just instantly went into, like, construction and said something back to them. And there was this look of, like, I was like, oh no, I've just offended you, haven't I? I was unaware of this. I was having banter, but you were not. I do find that
it is a different world. Yeah,
they take themselves too seriously. Fuck off, don't just fucking leave me be. I'm fine. Why do I need to give you my fucking keys? In fact, why do you give them your keys when you go to Morrison's?
No, right. So we do Audi and Lidl.
Right, but why?
That's what we do, basically.
Why?
I think there is a good reason, I believe.
Yes,
though.
There's a reason.
I'm going to tell you.
Go on.
So when we give them our keys, they give us a forklift key. So if I didn't give them my keys, drivers wouldn't remember.
I will actually allow that.
Do you know what I mean? Some drivers wouldn't remember to hand the forklift key
that's,
back
okay.
in.
That's fair.
That makes
that's
sense.
Fair.
Yeah.
Well, I think that is
fair.
Because I'm not driving off anyway. If I'm unloading myself, I'm in the bloody warehouse. I'm not
this
in the truck.
Yeah, that is a fair point. What's your point, Tom? What?
I used to give my car keys when I was on RDCs.
So what happens when you forget your car keys and leave them there?
Well, they always give them back. But I'm not sitting there when it's the middle of summer, sweating my bollocks off on an RDC bay because you don't want you to drive off. No, they've got some keys. That's fine. I mean, I did have a couple of comments about, like, these are Vauxhall keys. I'm like, it's...
Do you not get spares? Every truck's got spare keys.
Yeah, but the truck ones are always really expensive. Mm. Especially, I'm trying what it was. Oh, I think it was a Scania at that point there. I was working for fucking ME, the bastards.
Did they never say anything about your lorry running then with the aircon on?
No, they're not going to fucking say out. They don't care. They just care that they follow. The thing is, it's just about following procedure. Gonna follow the procedure. Shut up. Fucking.
It's a bit of power, isn't it?
Yes.
What, to take away your aircon or heating or
exactly. I'm going to make you sweat. And then I'm going to make you sweat there for 4 hours. Well, guess what? I have my keys. My inverter's running. I'm sat playing computer games. So fuck you. That's what's up.
I mean, I must admit, I don't miss the muddy building sites.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are
in winter, that was
at the moment.
That could be horrendous in the winter.
And looking at it and wondering, what sort of mud is this?
Yeah. Yes.
What type of mud do we have today? Is this the one that's going to take my wellies off?
When your feet disappear and you can't see them no more, that's bad mud. That is bad mud. Because your boots just... Although I take them off, because you have to, because the footwear would just be clogged of mud and you can't feel your brakes. You have to take them off and kick them on the steps and then put your trainers on. They're still like are just sodden throughout the day and the next day, and it's just rank, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't miss that, but I do miss certain aspects about that job. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I think because it's construction industry or just the style of work?
I think it's just because it's all I've ever done, construction.
Yeah.
And I feel like I just miss the challenge of it all, you know, driving around little tight sites with pallets on corners
throwing
my truck around. And you know what? I did enjoy it. And the only reason I left is, like I said, I worked for a company who made their money out of transport. So the harder they push me, the more money they earn.
Yeah.
So I would probably not work for a company that makes that money from transport, as in on the brick grabs again, because I just don't think it's the way forward. There is a company I'm looking at to get back on board with, going back onto the bricks again eventually. And they make their own bricks.
Oh, okay.
So that's they don't make their money from transport. They make their money from the bricks. I mean,
deliver their product that they
exactly.
require.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty cool.
I will get the name of that company afterwards, because I have a funny feeling I might know who they are. And I actually have a friend. We have a friend who works there, in fact.
Ooh.
Probably.
I think I might know who you're talking about, and I will see, because... If,
doing
if
the big man. I think I can get you a job.
I've got contacts.
I've got an inside contract.
Shut
you know.
The fuck up, you dickhead.
It's kind of what you were doing there.
Well, it wasn't. But now that you're saying it, No, it's got.
There's always someone when you have a conversation about saying. There's always someone goes, I know someone that works there. I'll get you someone. Don't you worry about it.
It's not what I'm doing.
And that was Tom. Right there. 100%.
I think I just missed playing with a high up as well. That's another aspect of the job, isn't it?
That's one thing about this is I miss there's something about the kind of like the technical aspects of using a crane. It's a lot of fun. It's very rewarding, especially when you've got it all stacked up nicely or got it just in place and stuff like that. And there's also
I have to admit that would be something I would like to try. I've been at Roro's for what, my whole driving career now, skips and Roro's, and I love it too much, though. I'm in the same predicament. I don't want to leave. You know when you just get to a really comfy position and you're really situated in a company and you're just like...
Yeah.
But I just want to leave.
Do you know when it just looks cool as well? The crane on the back just looks cool on the truck.
I have to make the crane cool.
And then you get a curtain cider. That doesn't look cool, does it?
It doesn't,
no. Crane on the truck looks cool.
Well, it's beautiful curtain. Well done.
I know it sounds silly, but you never get that. Like, you know when you get little kids and they stop to look at what you're doing?
Yeah,
I think
it's always
that's,
the dustbin that's, lorries and things
that's
that
when
they're
you've
interested
got a cool
in.
Job, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No one. Yeah.
Look at that.
Look at that beautiful curtain cider.
Yeah. Wow, he opened that curtain like a pro. Poor little curtain sider. If you have a curtain sider job, we're not taking the piss.
I am.
All.
No, I definitely am. I need you to know that I 100% am. Like, I'll double down on this shit. I don't care.
I was going to say, when I joined my current company that I'm at, I was taken out in box trailers. This is brilliant. Box trailers. Doddle. Don't need to strap anything. They've got sides on. I just open the back doors. brilliant. Yeah, 2 days in, curtain cider every day. Every day.
So they just taunted you with this idea of idea. And then, like, oh, actually, no, you got a curtain now.
There's about 50 buckles each side on a curtain cider. Some of the buckles, I'm not sure.
And when it's windy. When it's windy and you're trying to kind of get it and it's blowing bloody everywhere and stuff like that.
Luckily, with this job, I only do one delivery. So I've only got to open it once.
Straight up.
That is the bonus.
So do you just literally unload yourself and you go back empty? Is that it? Or do you have to reload as well?
Yeah, we do a reload on the way back. So we do one delivery and one collection. So that is it. It's not like General Haulage, you know, you stop five times, five different deliveries and then six different collections or something. It's just because how far we go, we do like Lutterworth. And I think the furthest we go is up to Darlington, which is just underneath Newcastle. So it takes us about just under 4 hours to get up there, 3 hours 45 or something. So once we've done that, we can pretty much do a collection on the way back and that is it. There's no other deliveries or collections.
So Jammer, he does I think he did because he's left now, hasn't he? But Jammer did a run.
I know he's still there. He was there last week.
I think last week was his last week. I think it was anyways. Pretty sure it was. Maybe this week. He's going to be a driving instructor.
Oh, we did say
Jammer is.
Yeah.
Is he really? Do you know what? I can imagine that for Jammer. Yeah, he's definitely he's good at that.
I reckon he will be. Yeah, I think he'll be very, very good. But he was doing a run up to T Bay in the lakes.
Yes.
Where it's just like a drop and swap, which is quite a good one. And he said he liked that one there.
But did he do that every day? That would be a boring one to do every day.
Well, okay. So with my current job, we're doing. I can't fully explain where it's basically because we're taking materials off the site or off a nuclear site. Mm-hmm. And there's thousands of tons to come out, thousands of tons. And basically we're doing is just running from our loading area to a tip. And that's all we do all day. And I will say it does get draining. Like occasionally something exciting happens. The traffic builds up on one of the other roads. So I get to use a different road occasionally. And there's a few more corners than that one. And it's exciting. It's so very exciting. And it is draining. We have, and the thing is, we have so much equipment. We've got 360s. We've got.
I do occasionally get
to load myself, and I'll jump on a 360. And when that happens, I'm like, "Fuck yes, this is more like it." Or that's like exciting. One of the shovels. But like we've got Hiabs. We've got vac trucks, which I'd love to get on a vac truck and have one of them because they seem like. They look cool as fuck. I've seen them on TikTok where you can actually just pull up bits of road and shit. It's
looks like
awesome
a big Hoover.
It's Fuck you. Have you ever heard a vac truck before?
No. I've seen it
it's
on
like,
TikTok. I've seen
it's
like
you
said
a jet engine, and like they had one going, and I was like, I was across the yard, and like all you hear is. I was like, fuck me, that's loud. And he goes, that's only one of the engines going. It's got three.
Wow.
Like, it's seriously loud. Like, that's the only thing with a vac truck, and I know this is gonna be really grim, and I'm sorry if you've just woken up and you listen to this podcast and I'm not telling this story. There's a story I heard of some divers? Some scuba divers.
Yeah,
and they
on
were
Netflix.
And they were fixing an oil pipe, and they got too close to the pipe, and it sucked them into the pipe, and it was like a 3-inch hole or something stupid like that, and they got sucked through this 3-inch hole. I suspect they were dead afterwards. I don't know.
No, they'd be right. They'd be swimming out the other end. They'd be fine.
My only thing is, if you fell in that hole while it was doing the vac truck stuff, that's not great. That's not great. I don't want to die like that. That's a horrible way to die. I know that's not going to happen because you'll probably set up a safety barrier and shit like that. Well,
but then it is like any job that you can have the most dangerous bit of equipment in front of you, and then it'll be something so simple that would get you.
Yeah, change. change is one of them things that makes me nervous. Change, I don't like, never liked change. And what else? Like, there's a few different
things. Do you know
things.
What I did the other week? What did I ring you about, Tom?
Fuck, you've not told us this story. Actually, there's two stories you need to tell us.
Oh, yeah, there is. So
what actually happened with the...
Right, so you know the cages you have in your Lidl's trailers and that for food?
Yes.
Yeah, and how heavy those little fuckers are.
Yeah.
Well, we do a Roro bin for Lidl, or down our end, and they'd put a load of these cages in it. So I got back to the yard to tip out, obviously opened the door, could see those cages in it. Obviously, we have a massive door on the back of these lorries to open up. Open it up, see these cages about to fall. So I kind of launched this door open, because all I could hear was crash, crash, bang, wallop. Legged out of the way to make sure I was nowhere near the truck. And I thought, oh yeah, I'm safe. So I stopped. Next thing I feel is this massive clunk on the side of my head. Basically, this trolley had smashed off the side of my lorry and smacked me in the head.
Oh my God.
It's
that was a nice
fucking...
little fun hospital trip. So you, I had that all glued back together.
Oh wow, were you bleeding
it
everywhere?
It was like, oh yeah, you know, like a head injury just bleeds and it was much blood. It was fine, honestly, I just got it glued together. It was absolutely fine.
And
it's
obviously
just one of those...
on the group, like, whereas, you know, what people should do is like, oh, I've just had an accident and I've just injured myself. But no, we got
the
obligatory blood all over someone's head photo because fuck it. You know,
hey, I didn't share it to social media or anything. I just shared it with you guys. But yeah, there was a lot of blood.
Whose fault is that? Because is there like a claim there or?
First thing I said.
I don't know. It is the first thing you said. To be honest, I'm just, it is what it is. Nothing's been damaged. If it was a different story, like if I was closer, honestly, because I think this bounced off the door and they're like 52 kg, these things. And it smashed my head and I was all right. And I was like, absolutely fine. It was head injury. And you were like, you messaged wrong me because you were like, your actual message you sent does make no sense at all. You are not speaking English.
There was a lot of spelling.
Are you concussion?
And I just wanted to just double check. And you're like, oh, I'm in hospital. I mean, don't get me wrong. The second I got off the
phone.
Yeah,
it was a brand new phone.
As soon as I got off the phone, I immediately went back to tape making. I think I made a joke about you don't need to be so cagey about responding to me, which I personally thought was hilarious. But
it was good, yeah.
Somebody has put in the comments there about wearing the hard
hat. Yeah,
should you have been in that job?
I suppose technically I could be wearing a hard hat.
I mean,
however,
there's no technically about it.
So, but honestly, though, if I was under it and it came down on top of me, I think there'd be a lot more worse going on than worrying about a hard hat.
Yeah, but there is also the hard hat paradox, where if you wear a hard hat, you will hit your head more. That is just
I hit my head
your
every
head
single
all
time.
All the time with a hard hat.
Yeah, because you forget you've got this big bulbous head and you just walk into everything and bang and smash off everything. You're like, for fuck's sake. So anyway, I've not worn a hard hat since. I'm fine. All good.
So we've learned, much like Chloe's dad, you have learnt to escapade at all.
Anyway, I probably should learn from wearing a hard hat, but I end up whacking my head all the time.
PP.
The only thing I've got was
so hot on hard hats. As if
were they?
I'm going to put a pack of bricks above my bloody head. You know what I mean? It was like,
it's a true story, yeah.
And more importantly, I don't think that hard hat's going to do shit all if that bricks go.
That's the thing. What's it going to do? And if you hit somewhere out, I don't know. Anyway, they annoy me and they get in my way. I've got a bump hat just in case. But my thinking from learning from this is don't stop running. Just keep running is my theory. I stopped running and I should have kept running and I would have been fine. Anyway, so that was my little blood incident. And it's, you know, it's all glued now. You got a little mark there, but it's really nothing. It bleeds a lot, so it looked a lot worse.
And what about this other incident? Or not incident, but other... Because I believe you carried something interesting.
So, I did get back and it wasn't quite as exciting. I mean, it was.
Oh. See, you've bigged this story up and it's shit now. Right, okay.
I told you it was shit in the first place.
Okay, great. Well, let's hear the story anyways.
So I picked up a random bin during the week, like a big 40-yard... And it was from a warehouse, so I thought nothing of it. I turned up and I got this really distinct stench of weed. Like, I could smell cannabis, big style. And I was like, what's that smell? Like, why is it here? And the guy's like, oh, yeah, just clearing out a cannabis farm. I was like, sorry? Excuse me? Yeah, this is cannabis farm. That's what's in the bin. In a warehouse on a giant industrial estate. Yeah, they got, there was some, like, the most biggest, like, cannabis farm, like, recently or something. And I was like,
what, legal or legal?
Illegal. Yeah, legally, yeah. Right. Completely illegal. They'd managed to get away with it in a giant warehouse in the middle of this industrial state where all commercial buildings. How the fuck they got away with that, I do not know.
Honestly, it's that thing of people who go into, there's that thing of them going into a cinema with a high vis on and a hard hat on. No one bats an eyelid.
Mm.
No.
Like, if you look like you're supposed to be there.
Yeah, no, just go no with one, it.
Yeah.
So they'd got away with it somehow. It didn't smell, whatever. They like, from what, judging everything that was gone, there was like fans, there was like filter equipment, there was so much expensive like things in there, like lamps and things. And so anyway, I went to load up the bin, and okay, there's none in the bin, is there, mate? Like, laughy jokey. And he goes, yeah. I was like, what? I was like, I'm taking the piss. I was like, no, is there actually? He's like, yeah, there's bags and bags of it. I was like, are you joking? He's like, I was like, am I allowed to take this? What the fuck are the rules on this? Like, what the fuck?
I was going to say, well, when you said this, I was going to ask, is this technically ADR?
But this is what I was then questioning. Like, should I be having a police escort? Should I,
yeah.
Should we be accepting this? How does this go? Like, what happens if I get pulled over? I can't lie. Have you got any, like, weird
you got
things
a thing that
on you?
You need to declare, well, yeah, I've got bags of marijuana on the back. There must be a few tins back there, mate.
Honestly, I was, you know, the worst scenario is going through your head thinking, oh, what am I going to do if I get pulled? I can't lie. Like, what am I going to say?
Where did you have to take it all?
So I live in Devon, and it was Dunk as well, which is about 20 minutes up the road from where I'm. 20 minutes, half an hour from whereabouts the depot is. So I took it back to our depot because I rang up my manager and I said, I've got some weed on my bin. And he goes, what sort of weed? I was like, no, the weed you're joking about, the actual weed you're joking about. He's like, oh, I was fucking joking. I was like, yeah, I know, but I've got it. What am I doing with it? Are we accepting this? And he's like, I don't know. He's like, just bring it back and we'll see how bad it is. I was like, okay, all right. So anyway, this whole journey, you know when you see so many police around as well and you just start thinking the worst. Nothing was going to happen. It was fine. It was just, you start thinking the worst and you're driving back and you can smell it now. At this point, it's all gone through my vents. I can just smell weed everywhere.
Oh no, I hate that smell as well.
And it's disgusting. And that's all I can smell. And I'm thinking,
I like that smell.
I'm thinking, I probably stink of it right now. And in a minute, as soon as I get this bin back to the yard, I've got to go school run and pick up my child stinking of weed. And all these people are going to be judging me. And I was just like, oh no. So anyway, I finally got it back to the yard and we opened up the doors. And of course, it got wind from the drivers that I had a bunch of weed and like
so
the yard
everyone
stuff.
Was there.
So
and then,
everyone.
And then the end result was it all got incinerated.
So we opened it up. Obviously the police had already been and taken like pretty much all the bud, so what it was just the leaves and the stalk, okay. And then like all the other stuff on the side, like the base of the plants and you know the tubing and everything they use to grow it with, and a couple of the yard staff that were hardcore drug addicts or whatever they are decided to go in and
There's always one in the yard.
There always is. Yeah, there's always someone there. Like, oh, and he didn't give a shit who was watching him. He's there going through the bags, finding some buds that were left over. And I'm
really?
Like, yeah, genuinely. They found a couple, like not a huge amount. I think most of it had obviously been confiscated, but there was a few things on the plant still. So yeah, they had a field day, but obviously it just absolutely stunk. And then, yeah, got chucked through the machine and then it's probably ended up in the incinerator and everyone's gone high as fuck on the industrial estate.
Brilliant.
So that is the weirdest thing I've ever carried to date, I think. I'm not going to lie. I think that's probably one of the weirdest.
I'll be honest with you, that's still quite an amazing story. Mm. I liked it.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad it was all right. Could have got more excited, but...
It could have done that. I mean, the police chase would definitely have
been quite
nicely. The police
chase would have been amazing. Yeah. Yeah. So that was my last couple of weeks because we didn't do a podcast this week, did we? Did it?
Yeah.
Not last week. Yeah.
Yeah, we missed last week, but yeah. Well, I think, I'll be honest with you, I'm actually happy ending it on that note. If you guys are happy ending it on that.
Absolutely. That's been great.
Yeah. Right. Well, thank you so much for listening. If you haven't listened, how is it you got this
far? Hang on.
Far?
Whoa. Oh. How do we find Chloe?
Oh, right. Yeah. I'll be honest with you. Let's just be honest with ourselves here. People are not finding her through us. People are finding us through her, if anything's going on here. She can definitely promote stuff. That's fine. But there is a clear disparity between viewership here, which we need to acknowledge. Oh,
you maybe seem like a little celebrity.
Yeah.
Compared to this podcast, you definitely are. Go on. What do you want to promote anything?
So my socials, if you did want to follow me on TikTok, because I'm mainly on TikTok, it's Chloe Not On The Brick Grab. G-R-A-B.
Nice.
Because I'm not on the brick grab anymore. I'm driving a cat insider. But hey ho.
You're still doing what, reversing and things like that and exciting things? And...
yeah, you know what? It actually does really well still. So the people that did follow me on the brick grab have certainly started to follow me on the cat insider journey. And
I think people follow the personality. That's...
Once you gain a following, they're going to stick with you.
Yeah. That's the way it works.
Yeah, it does quite well, to be fair. And I'm enjoying the little audience I do have on that. It's good communicating with them all. And it's good sharing my journey.
Cool. All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Superb.
You can finish now, Tom. Sorry.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Love you to let me. Right. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't listened, how is it you got this far? But we shall see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye. Do it.
Thank you so much for listening. Podcast manager and editor is David, as always. Thank you very much, David's David. He wasn't here, no, but it was nice knowing that you're nearby. He's, I will say, if you wonder where David is, he's badly this week. He's not well. He's got a bug, and he's just feeling really shit. So get well soon, David. Host this week, myself, obviously, and we've got Chloe, and we've also got Chloe as well, just to make things extra confusing. Although wasn't as confusing as I thought it was, so that was always good. Massive thanks to our Patreons who support us. I'm here with the chat throughout. Very much appreciate you always being around, and especially all the patrons, but very much thank you to I'm Having an Orgasm, this person, obviously, not just me saying that, Jack Goodwin, John Brown, Justin Reaney, Miller, Phil Starkey, SMyD, Stephen Patterson, Timo, and Trucker Nozza. You guys are absolute legends. Thank you so much for being our mega supporters and our tier 3 supporters. I've never called them that before, but that's what it's called on this Excel spreadsheet thing that we've got. It's really fancy. It's real fancy. So it's very upper class, I think you'll find. We've got Big Mike, Gavin Williams, Neil Rees, and Danny Flynn, the Huanking Master. Thank you. Thank you, thank you,
super
thank
fancy.
You. Yeah, very fancy. Oh, yes, very, very fancy. Follow us on other social media where we should theoretically post stuff, but I don't think we do we? Because we're a bit shit at that sort of thing. we're
getting there.
yeah, it's on our to-do list. But thank you, and we shall see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.